It costs nothing to enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. If you've been injured in a road or work accident and made a claim, it costs nothing to know where you stand with Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm.
I'm feeling a little unsettled, actually.
Why? Okay.
Because Netflix's Squid Games has been one of the biggest shows of all time for them, right? Mm. It was a Korean show that has just absolutely taken off, and everyone's been talking about it for weeks on end.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, it's a series about a bunch of people who are invited to come along and play a series of children's games, games that we played when we were in the playground at school. And you can win a massive amount of cash at the end.
Mm.
Now, the bleak part of that, of course, is that a lot of people lose their lives along the way.
Yes.
Because if you participate and you don't succeed, you are eliminated.
That's right.
Great news is someone's doing it in Perth.
Hey!
Yes!
Are you serious?
Yes. There is a nationwide game coming called Squiz Games.
Tell me more, please.
Squiz Games is going to be happening next year, but you can register now, and it's happening in every capital city in Australia.
Right.
Now, the idea is it's going to be up to 2,000 contestants in four rounds, and you're recruited to play on the day, 500 participants in a round, and you try and win a giant cash prize at the end.
This excites me to
know
it.
Very excited.
Well, I binged the hell out of that show. Mm. Like, I loved that show. But just to know that you get to have a crack.
It's creepy, Pete.
Nah.
It's, look, I mean, this is how it works too. The ticket holder, so you buy a ticket to participate, you book online, and then ticket holders are sent a game card in February. And you call a secret number on the game card
it's just
to
like
get the
show.
Location of where you're playing the game.
Oh, this is great.
This makes me feel icky.
Why? Why does it make you feel icky?
I don't know, because I just watched a bunch of people die.
I know, but like,
no one's getting eliminated in this one, are they?
No, it's meant to be fun and whatever.
Free up a few rentals.
But
I mean, look, in all honesty, I mean, they didn't know that they were getting eliminated in the show at the beginning of it either,
did they?
I mean, spoiler alert, but we're that far past it now. Yeah, God.
The whole thing is so unusual. Like, I don't think, would you do something like this?
Yes, 100%.
You're in.
The reason being is because when I watched the show Squid Game, right? And look, don't get me wrong. Yes, the premise is dark, right? But I just kept looking at the games going, God, I'd love to try that.
Totally.
I mean, the glass game, not so much. But the
tug of war, not so much.
Well, tug of war is a bit of fun. Just
red light,
not the
green
way
light, not
it.
So much.
Red line, green line, definitely.
Definitely do that one.
And
tug of war, get disqualified for pushing, but that's okay.
The honeycomb game in particular, where they had to get different shapes in the middle of the honeycomb and try and figure out how to cut that shape out.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, God. It's okay.
Look,
yes, I'd love to.
It's horrible. And like, you know, it's dark. I mean, just have a listen. This is from Squid Games.
Those who win all six games will receive a handsome cash prize.
It'll be dangerous.
Stick with the strongest.
All those games are easy to learn.
I'll make sure that you win.
What will you do?
Whatever it takes.
But it's all sound effects, really, isn't it?
Those Korean actors have got great American accents, haven't they?
guys, sorry to interrupt.
Oops.
Yes.
Jeans, joggers, producers.
I just want to let you know that I will be putting you three forward for the Squiz Games.
Oh.
To participate.
As participants, yes.
You serious? How do you feel about that? I mean, I'm all for it.
I'm up for it.
100%.
I'm up for it.
Have you already, you've looked into this, you're doing it, you mean?
I've made contact with the organisers, and we are looking at November next year, participating in the Squiz Games.
Guys, it's the 12th of November next year that we're playing in Perth, so I'll be killed off the day before my birthday. So
Perfect.
That's going to be fantastic.
Amazing.
I mean, unless, of course, I win because it turns out I'm amazing at this.
Yeah, maybe you will.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
It's a year to dream.
There's a huge cash prize, so if you win it, you need to share with us.
No. No.
All right.
Yep. Bang up for it.
Space.
Okay.
Pete, Matt, and Kimber.
Last night, our house was going a little bit nuts. Now, our house, you know, three kids under five on a school night, you know, crazy and chaotic is at the best of times.
Sure.
It's standard.
Right. When you've got one of them running around yelling and screaming and jumping all over tables. And there's just, it's like a celestial body took hold of our family last night and said, here, here, kids, have some Energizer batteries up your backsides and go ham. So the eldest one is running around, jumping all over tables and benches and throwing things around. Mm. And she's, I mean, don't get me wrong, she's a young kid. She loves to have a good time.
Mm.
But it was, you know, 8 o'clock at night. We're trying to get everybody to bed. And she's generally not like that. She likes to sort of chill out a little bit.
Yep.
The three-year-old, I've told you guys, she's gorgeous, but she's the dragon, right? So she's the, and she is, I don't know what they say, like terrible twos, get stuffed. Three-nagers is where it's at. But she was riding her bike up. It's like she was possessed by the devil. It's like she was riding her bike up walls. She was walking on the ceiling.
Sounds like and Liz are doing a great job.
We're doing wonderful, right? Just trying to work out. I've got to be honest with you, and parents will attest to this. I have no idea what we're doing.
No, no.
Right? But, you know, she at one point had grabbed the toothpaste and just decided to do this collage of, like, all over the bathroom floor.
Toothpaste art.
Oh, and the grout guy.
But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, though, that she squirted a little bit. She had to get down on her hands and knees, and she was in there rubbing it into the tiles and the grout and everything.
Proper cleaning job.
Finally, we got everybody to bed. And got up this morning and, you know, walking out the door at whatever I happened at 4:30 or whatever, and I could hear Oliver screaming.
Uh-huh.
And I've walked in just to say, see you, babe. Sorry to leave you with that. And she's gone, I don't know what's gotten into him, but he has just been up all night and he's crazy. He's kicking and he's yelling and he's doing all these sorts of, I've never seen him like this. And I got in the car and I drove out. And it was like it was the middle of the day.
Yes.
And I looked up at the sky and saw a giant full moon and went, oh, my God, I reckon that's it. Full moon's out. I feel like when there's a full moon out, everybody goes crazy and chaotic.
And you're not alone. I think a lot of people feel that. Yeah.
It is legit. It's scientifically proven.
It is. Really?
Yeah. So lunacy and lunatic, the words stem from the word luna, which is the Latin word for moon, because people show erratic behavior during a full moon. It's been scientifically proven many times. And they say looking at behavior over a 5-year period from police records and stuff, it shows an increase in aggravated assaults, different, like, because people's behavior is absolutely affected as well as their sleep.
And we're mostly made of water. If the moon can affect tides, well, maybe it affects us in some way. On a hydro level.
Well, there you go.
And people experience a lot of sleepwalking around that time.
Well, I would like to hear from people this morning. Bad moon rising. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear you dive in on this because it's no longer a conspiracy. This thing actually happens. Look at it. The phone lines are already lighting up. People know. Nicola in Hammersley, good morning. You got a couple of little girls. What? Tell us about this whole bad moon rising.
Yes. So, good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good.
Good. So I have two little girls, and every time there's a full moon, like clockwork, about 5 days before, they go absolutely crazy. Like the squabbling just levels up like a whole nother level. They get really dysregulated, so they're super emotional. There's lots of crying and tears.
Mm.
And it is definitely a really tricky time in our house. So what happens is all this happens and then I look at the weather and go, oh, right, there's a full moon. That explains everything.
But you know what's great? Like hearing you talk about, Nicola, the fact that it's like 5 days out or so, like a few days out, Liz and I have been going, what's wrong with the girls lately?
Yeah.
You know, like it's felt that way. Oh, my God.
And, of course, it's not just a night thing. The full moon's still happening on the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
And scientists say, too, it happens to animals. They watch animals' behaviour that is normally really easy to track in terms of their breeding cycles and their behaviours and stuff like that completely change during full moon cycles.
Ranger has been a bit weird lately. Brenda in Brookdale, good morning to you. We're after bad moon rising. What do you got?
I'm a big believer in the moon, whole moon thing. I've got 4 under 8, all special needs. And the lead up to the full moon is just, it's like it's out of this world. The cat gets involved. She meows like she's having babies.
Really?
And then once she starts, everybody else starts. So So it's running up and down the hallway. It's fighting. It's arguing. It's just everything. It's like it's something to do with the world or the universe, and it's crazy crap.
Wow. And you wonder, like, if we know it's coming, if you could follow the moon cycle on your calendar, is there a way we could, like, get everybody to calm down before it kicks in, prep for it?
And I'm thinking maybe I'm dead.
Because
I don't think I have any change at all.
You probably have to ask the people around you, right?
I guess so.
We need to harvest your blood and figure out what's going on. Hey, Trev.
Hey, how are you, guys?
Good, mate. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm a teacher, and come full moon time, the classes go absolutely ballistic. And I'm not talking about young kids. We're talking about teenagers.
Really?
You can just know that it's going to be a bad day. Like today, I'm not looking forward to it. But my theory on it is water and tides and everything are affected by a lunar cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, with our bodies being made up of 65-70% mm-hmm. water, surely that's going to have some effect as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Feel a bit of a shift, don't you? Like I feel a shift in my gut today.
Yeah, well, and they say because it makes you really emotional, and I would imagine if you're working with teenagers too, like they're emotional at the best of times.
They are,
and,
yes.
You know, to have that extra, you probably don't need it.
Okay. Nobody in here is emotional.
No.
Shut up, Kimber.
Hey, you know how we're all obsessed with kind of organized crime, right? And we love an underbelly and whatnot. And certainly as a kid, I watched all the Godfathers, Goodfellas, The Sopranos. There's something about the way people live their life, not worrying about consequences and whatnot. And of course, the mafia being the one that, you know, we all have this sort of idea of what the mafia must be like. So this story really caught my eye. So the police in Calabria, in southern Italy there, where my wife's from and Pete's family are from.
The homeland.
The homeland. Calabrese. So they raided a property there and they found 700 cannabis plants. And they also found 235 frozen mice, dormice.
Oh, okay.
And it turns out that these mice are a mafia favourite, that the godfathers and the clan leaders only ever make big decisions around a plate of these mice that have been baked.
Oh.
And do they eat them?
It's a delicacy.
I have never heard of this before. This is amazing.
So they have poachers who go and find these little rodents that are, you know, presumably everywhere in that area, in the fields and whatnot, trying to nick some grain or whatnot. And they put them in. And it dates back to Roman time. They were stuffed with various things, garlics and spices and whatnot. And they were baked.
Why didn't they hit up all our farmers? We had a massive rodent crisis.
We did too.
There were millions of them. They're still probably going on.
Well, you know, the mafia has, you know, long tentacles across this globe, so maybe they did.
Yeah.
But that really spun me out.
Like, who would have thought? Dormice would you have to eat to feel fulfilled, like for a meal?
Well, I don't know if they've got anything on them. Like if they're a dormice, you've seen a dormouse before.
Just a little appetizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
But that's the way the mafia rolls.
Godfather.
What is it, my son?
Please, would you bless my lotto ticket for tonight's $60 million Powerball?
You come here on the day of the $60 million Powerball and ask me to bless your ticket?
Yes, Godfather.
Yeah, this I will do for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Godfather. Please take this dormouse's gratitude. Grazie.
Godfather?
Yes, my daughter.
We are so poor. We have nothing. We are hungry.
What can I do for you?
Please, Godfather, bless this 12-game quick pick for tonight's $60 million draw.
I will do this.
Thank you, Godfather. If I win, I will shower you in riches, but all I have is this plump, juicy dormouse.
Grazie, grazie. Somebody get me my Jamie Oliver cookbook. I want to know how to cook up this dormouse.
Guys, I'm not really much of a risk taker. I don't try many different things. I don't really have that desire. But last night I took a risk and I'm here and I've lived to tell the tale and thank goodness. Because the risk I took was on food in the fridge.
Okay.
Now, you know, I haven't been shopping for a bit, a little bit lazy, just couldn't be bothered. And sometimes I'm, you know, as you know, I don't cook. So I'm quite happy to just eat toast if there's no food around. It's fine. But I'm guessing over a week ago, possibly longer, I opened a packet of like that fresh pasta. You know the stuff you buy in the it's
sure,
like a
slightly soft.
An agnolotti thing. Yep. It had spinach and ricotta inside, you know, those little parcels.
Yes.
Little parcels.
Yeah.
And I had I cooked some portion of the packet that night, mm-hmm. maybe a week or so ago, I can't remember. That's how long ago it was. And I put the rest of the uncooked stuff in a container in the fridge.
Okay.
And last night I thought, oh, I've got that pasta there. Give that a go. I opened it up and it had like a few little white marks, maybe a few green marks, but I also thought, I can't tell if it's spinach and ricotta or mold.
Bit of penicillin, never hurt anyone.
I thought, well, I eat blue cheese, this will be fine.
Yeah.
And so I cooked it up, gave it a go, perfectly fine today.
Well done.
And I thought I need to change my rules because I tend to be a bit of a, if it's been in the fridge for 3 days, it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite like, I don't know, because I think it just weirds me out. Psychologically, I get weirded out by food after that point. But I remember living with a housemate years ago who cooked up a ridiculous amount of mince for one man. You know, it was like just like as if he'd got it cheap and had to cook it by the next day. So he cooked it up.
Yes.
And put it in this big Tupperware container in the fridge. And I still saw him going back to the fridge just eating from the Tupperware container with a spoon 2 weeks later.
Oh, okay, good boy.
And I was good going, boy. Dude, that's really bad news.
Yes.
And he was like, nah, just, I don't know, I've just got a bit of an iron stomach. And I'm like, well, you'd have to be eating mince that's a couple of weeks old and, you know, it's a bit gross. And so I thought, you're always at the risk of food poisoning if you don't really know what you're doing in the house.
Oh, my God. You got food poisoning from that restaurant, didn't you? Oh, my. Okay.
You know, I don't really care which dress we get. It doesn't matter to me. I just need to get off this white carpet.
No, okay. No, not the bathroom. Everybody, go outside. I'm serious.
Of course, Bridesmaids, great film.
Food poisoning is the worst.
It's terrible.
Any kind of gastro, food, I mean, that's dignity, leave it at the door.
And I must admit that I haven't had it much because I think being vegetarian, I'm less exposed to that sort of problem.
Mm.
Even though I did find out you get really bad food poisoning from rice, which
yes,
was a surprise to me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But have you guys ever eaten anything you thought, oh, probably shouldn't have touched that?
Yeah, there was once quite recently actually out at Hart & Co. A friend of ours was making a pumpkin dal. And I thought, this could end very badly. No.
And here we are to live to tell the tale.
What did you risk? What did you eat and you think, oh, I don't know. And whether it paid off or not, it could have been, you might have had a great escape or it might have been the worst morning of your life.
Yeah, you might have been on that bathroom sink like in Bridesmaids that we just heard.
And just to bring you into the loop, that was me having a go at Kimber cooking my Kimber rolls at Hart & Co. in Osborne Park.
Good reason to have a go at my cooking, really, given that I just cooked moldy pasta last night. We want to know if you've, you know, maybe risked something in the fridge that you shouldn't have. Janine in Secret Harbour, did you risk it?
It wasn't me. My husband risked it for the brisket and it didn't pay off.
Ooh, go on. What happened?
We were in Cambodia traveling from Phnom Penh to Siem Reap with our adult children in a minibus.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped at a roadside service station and he thought he would buy some local beef jerky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was commercially packaged beef jerky, but as soon as he opened it in the minibus, it smelled like roadkill.
Oh.
Okay.
Having a look at it, it looked like it had hair.
Oh, okay.
It like it had been scraped off the road.
That sounds like good
and
jerky.
It's nice and raw.
all advising him, oh, I wouldn't eat it, I wouldn't eat it. He goes, well, I've got to try a little bit. He tried the tiniest skerrick.
Mm.
And let's just say he had the Siem Reapers for 3 days.
No.
Nice wordplay, Janine.
Wow.
Fun there.
And also that he only ate a bit. It's not like he ate the whole packet. He just had a bit.
He ate the tiniest bit and we gave it to our driver and he ate the rest.
Yeah, loved it. Loved
iron
it.
Guts because he lives there. Yeah. I love that whole thing that you're like, you're in somewhere completely different, so got to try it.
Oh, you got to. Yeah.
It's a good time to eat roadkill jerky.
Of course. Yeah. Nikki in Southlake, tell us about it. Risked it for the brisket. What do you got?
I risked it for the brisket and it didn't pay off.
What happened?
I was doing a bit of a Dukin diet at the time. Which is protein only, and I thought I'll just buy a pack of those 5-pack Frankfurts.
Yep.
And I was through about the first half of one when I realised they were out of date by 3 months.
Ooh.
And the girl I was working with at the time, she goes, oh, you'll be fine, just eat it. So I continued to eat the other half, and within probably about half an hour, I was not very well at all.
Oh.
So went home, cramps, vomiting, the whole works, and told work, you know, I've just bought this. And all they wanted to compensate me with was another packet of the damn things, which I said, no, thank you.
I don't know if I'll ever eat a Frankfurt ever again.
I don't have, because I don't even like sausages. But anyway, and so they didn't compensate me for my day off work or anything like that. But yeah, I couldn't believe half of a sausage, and I was, well, in the end, a full sausage, but violently ill.
So. I mean, the interesting thing about that, Nikki, is that I didn't realise there was anything natural in those Frankfurt sausages anyway to go off.
It's now been 5 days since four-year-old Cleo went missing at the Blowholes campsite in Carnarvon. Steph Baumgartel from 10 News First joins us now from the campsite. Good morning to you, Steph.
Good morning.
Steph, this has just been such a terrible tragedy, and everyone is so concerned, and our thoughts go out to the family. But, you know, we wanted to talk to you because we know that you're up there at the moment, and, you know, we weren't interested in people weighing in on what's happened. We're just finding so many comments online and people thinking that they know better, which is harmful for the family. But you're experiencing it up there. What's it like being in the town?
Oh, the Carnarvon town is absolutely reeling. In almost every single shop window, there's a missing Cleo poster. Every car that drives past, it's in the back window. So this is a town that's really coming together as well, volunteering to help with the search as well. And companies have donated their helicopters and pilots to get out there and help look. But not just the Carnarvon community, but also the searchers that are up there, the police and the SES. Yesterday evening, we saw them coming together, and a few of them shed a few tears and were hugging each other because, you know, it's almost been a week and we still have no answers for Cleo's poor parents.
And Steph, that was the very human part of the story that touched us this morning. Janine, obviously a colleague of yours, our producer, had told us about that side of the story, about you seeing the police and emergency services people, no doubt exhausted and just so full of pain that they weren't able to bring some better news to this family.
Yeah, exactly. It's just devastating, obviously, for the parents, but these guys are putting so much into this search as well. It's a mammoth search effort. There's the mounted unit, drones, choppers, like I mentioned, people on foot, and it's not a simple landscape to be walking through either. It's really rugged, sheer coastline, and yeah, it's awful to think that we still don't know where Cleo is, and she might be out there.
Mm. I think for me, as a dad who's got a couple of young daughters, like a five-year-old and a three-year-old, and this little girl is four, I mean, regardless of her age, but it just makes you hold your kids a bit tighter as you see all this sort of come to pass. But I can't even imagine what it would be like being a parent actually going through this. Steph, have you crossed paths with Cleo's parents? Have you had an opportunity to talk to them? How are they going?
Yeah, we have spoken to Cleo's parents collectively as the media. They are obviously devastated. They haven't actually left the campsite. They just don't know what to do. I mean, you can imagine you've come to camp with two children and suddenly you have to leave with just one. So they're not able to physically bring themselves to leave. I think they've got so much community support and family support at the site, but they're just waiting day after day, hoping for some kind of breakthrough.
And of course, part of the extraordinary nature of this case is that one of our other producers was telling me today that there are already pictures of Cleo up in shops here in Perth. So the idea that within all of these days that that you know she may have been travelled so far, it really makes the search scene almost global now.
Yeah, well, we're actually entering day six of the search. So, I mean, you've got a six-day window. She could literally be anywhere. And police are putting the call out nationally for people to look out for Cleo. So, yes, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Steph, 10 News First, thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem.
Have faith.
Believe.
We must have faith.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
The producer's very quick on the button.
Jeans and joggers have written
came
straight
out in
to
1989, so yes.
Maybe it's 90. When they were born. You know what I think it was? I think it was when they were born, they'd be 52 this year.
I'll tell you what, Pete, as you're the person that we're playing faith with, I'm sure Sally in Bellevue has absolutely no confidence after all of that. Hi, Sally.
Hi, how you going?
Good.
Oh, Sally, what's your day entail today?
I've got a full day at work today.
Oh, what do you do?
I'm a dental nurse.
Oh, God bless you, Sally. Keeping those smiles wider.
Getting those suckers out.
Yeah.
All right.
Sally, meet Pete. Pete, meet Sally.
Hello, Sally.
Hi, Pete. How you going?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Lovely to hear from you. Lovely to talk to you this morning. I hope I do well for you. Okay.
Now get out of here.
Get out of here.
See you, mate.
Hey, Sally, your prize today, should you be lucky enough to win it, is $150 to spend at the Swan Settlers Market. There's something for everyone, open 9 to 5 every weekend in the Swan Valley.
Oh, that's perfect. That's just up the road from us.
Oh, beautiful.
Ideal. Yeah. You've got to check it out. Okay, well, Sally, we've got a question for you for Pete today.
Yeah.
And the category... I mean, are we going with... What is the category?
Well, look,
what do
it's basically it? It's the Wiggles. It's on the back of Emma, the yellow Wiggle, calling it a day. So we're going to ask Pete a Wiggles-related question. Now, of course, he does have small children. So do you have faith that Pete will know the answer to a question around the Wiggles or not?
I do. I have faith in him.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
He needs to get the question correct for you to win the prize.
Bring him back
now.
In.
We won't tell him whether you have faith in him or not.
Bring him back in. Here he comes. We'll keep it stum, Sally.
Sorry, we're just trying to work out where that meme in the back of my head has come from. We still can't get there. Okay.
All right,
okay.
Pedro.
Yes?
As you know, this week the audiences were shocked to hear the announcement that Emma, the yellow Wiggle, is retiring.
Make a diamond shape.
It's heartbreaking.
So your category today is the Wiggles.
Oh, toot toot chugga chugga. Let's go.
Okay. Pete, two of the Wiggles, Anthony and Jeff, were members of a pub rock band before joining the Wiggles.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of their band?
The Cockroaches.
The Cockroaches.
The Cockroaches.
Sally, how do you feel about that answer?
I feel he has faith in it.
I was going to say AC/DC, but it's clearly not that.
So just one more time, the question was?
The question was, two of the Wiggles, Anthony and Jeff, were members of a pub rock band before joining the Wiggles. What was the name of their band?
Now, I came out swinging with the Cockroaches, right? And the thing that, the only thing that's sort of getting me is you've said two of.
Yes.
Because I feel like also somewhere in the back of my head, I remember reading that all of them were a part of the band The Cockroaches.
Oh. And what? How do you remember The Cockroaches? Like, how did that just come to you?
Oh, mate, when you've got a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and like just to get through the ever-present songs of the Wiggles in your household, you just start Googling things just to find something else interesting about them.
Oh,
so that's where it is.
We have a little grab of said rock band. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to.
Go on, then. Say, come on, come on, come on.
I mean, they were really equipped to write children's songs.
Yeah,
they're
lyrical masterpiece, isn't it?
Repetition, four words.
No bulldust, though. That sounds exactly like a kid's song, but rock.
Yeah. Well, I think they made a lot more money as children's entertainers than they would have as that band.
All right, put us out of our misery. Have I got it?
You certainly do.
Yeah, buddy.
Yay! I mean, check in with Sally. Sally, you had faith?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, go you, good thing.
Sally, enjoy the $150 to spend at the Swan Settlers Market.
Thank you so much, guys, and thanks, Pete.
Oh, my pleasure, Sally. That's what I'm here for, just to bring happiness to the people.
Live to give.
If you have time, check out another Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast on the Listener app. And if you have an existing claim for a road or work accident, contact Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm. Mix 94.